Shall we turn this evening to God's precious word from one of the Pentateuch, the Old Testament, from the book of Numbers 21. The book of Numbers 21 from the first 10 verses. Numbers 21 verses 1 to 10. Open our eyes, dear Lord, that we may behold glorious things out of thy book of law. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Homer. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loved this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. There ends the reading of God's most profound and holy word. Shall we pray? Our dear loving eternal Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, we humbly come and bow before thy presence here this very hour. We acknowledge, dear Lord, our weakness. We acknowledge, dear Lord, our coldness. We acknowledge, dear Lord, that despite all the privileges that thou hast bestowed upon us and given to us, even through the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have become even most wretched and most people so miserable in every way. For we have handled holy things lightly. Loving Father, we come to thee this very night, and we pray that you, through the power of thy Holy Spirit, might indeed come amongst us and touch us, dear Lord, that we may turn away from our waywardness and put our complete and solid trust in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. Hear us now, we pray, to your glory. We ask in Jesus' most worthy name. Amen.
Amen.
The word and some of the phrases that we sang earlier on, Lord, thy word abideth. And in verse 3, when the storms are over us and dark clouds before us, then its light directeth. And the last verse, all that we discerning, it is most holy learning. We live in an age that is so disturbed, an age that has gone adrift from the word of God, from his own message. We read about the children of Israel, and the word of God reminded us again and again about the way in which he delivered his people from the land of bondage and brought them into the land that they should serve him with complete dedication, complete obedience, complete trust. But today, as we ponder on this very text, one of the very concern that the Spirit of God has drawn my attention to this very chapter is that just yesterday a vote was cast in one part of Europe which has sent a shock wave to other parts of the world. And among all the constituents who were allowed to vote in the southern part of Ireland, we were told that is only one out of all the rest voted against the issue of gay and homosexual marriage. This is a dark hour and a stark reality that is so visited the whole world. I have here in my hand, as we come to the passage later on, a book that is written by one of our leading evangelical brother, Walter Chantry, writing a book about the gospel today. What is wrong with evangelism today? He writes, evangelicals know that all is not well in their churches and in their missions. The growing missionary reports and massive statistics, there is a profound awareness that the church has little power in evangelism. While bravely trying to produce an aura of joy and victory among their followers, church leaders are uneasy and deeply dissatisfied with their present experience and the results of their efforts. It goes on, many disturbing areas, and it asks, where are the power of Edwards and of the Whitfield? That the power has remained cold and weak in the church. Where are those who should know the word of God and stand by the truth of the scriptures, to turn the world upside down as the early apostles did? Have we handled holy things lightly? Yes, indeed, we have. And here, right in this very passage, we see what goes on in verse 2. Israel made a vow to the Creator, God Himself. And yet, in the next breath, they violated this very vow. Their lips have not only spoken lies, they have lied against their Maker, Creator, God Himself. It is a very fearful thing for any man or any woman to fall into the hands of the living God. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said it? And will he not do it? Has he spoken? And will he not make it good? The word of God has been punished. We see generation after generation growing up, not knowing and hearing and heeding the word of God in their hearts. The next generation to come will become like thorns and thistles, and they will become strong-headed. And as we see the record right before us, we see also that the title that I have just written down for this very text is that we have been beaten by sin. Sin has come and has been enshrined into the culture, and we have embraced this very sin. Believers have become so much the same with non-believers in their attitudes, so that a non-believer does not know what the truth is. Do you have a life? Do you have a testimony that you can be walking up at any time, but that your language is truth? Your language is of honesty. Your language is nothing but living for Christ and for Him alone. I don't desire to bring any attention to this very body standing here. But when for 1 minute that Christ came and lived inside me, not only knowing about His power in the church of the coming of the Holy Spirit at the age of 9, it wasn't by coincidence that the Holy Spirit should come to my dad's church in 1972. But that when that power came to the church, that the people melted. The holiness of God was evident in the lives of men and women. They knew the fear of God. But there is no fear of God in the church today. A man or a woman who commit adultery, not being seen in public, but when being deeply touched and convicted by the power of God, they were well able to stand right in front of the church to make an open confession. I have sinned against God. Even going to some of the secondary schools, when revival took place at a secondary school, a mission school, in 1972, a pencil was taken from the principal's office before revival. But when revival came, the pencils were returned.
Bible came, all the little exercise books were returned. So that by the time it was morning, the principal couldn't even open the office. Because all the suitcases, all the clothing, all the books that many have taken, the Holy Spirit has come and has hoovered all the corners of their hearts. Do we know about that visitation? Have you seen that visitation with your eyes? I have seen it. I have seen when the Holy Spirit is at work in the church. It wasn't by coincidence. This is an eyewitness of the account of the coming of God in power. So that when His power is in the church, the people even in the village who are worshipping idols begin to come in fear, begin to bring all their idols, all their gods to be burned with fire. Do we know about that visitation? So that even though at the age of 9 that Christ was not actually living inside me, but by the time I came to the age of 17, looking back about the visitation of God in the church, never once will I allow this body to be exploited by alcohol, by drugs, or by abuse of this body in any way. But that once Christ comes to live inside this body, it becomes His own temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that from that time on, right to the end of my life here on this earth, living for Christ and Christ alone. This is why a phrase that He has kept in my mind helps me to keep a text of the scriptures all in balance. Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What is our response? And ye shall love the Lord your God. Before giving you all that, I have one formula that helps me to keep in order the message that the Lord wants each one to have. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. That is the H. With all your soul. That is the S. With all your strength. That is the S. And with all your mind. He saved my soul. In response of Him saving my soul, I ought to love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and with all my mind. Everything else takes pale into the background. The phrase says all, He means all. Not in a half-measured way, but complete, utter dedication, in complete and utter surrender to Him. The people, they murmured. Why did they murmur? Why did they allow this murmuring to come? Love Him with all your heart. No murmuring. Ye shall love Him with all your heart. Any degree of murmuring is pushed to one side. Any suggestion of being unloving or uncaring or unforgiving, it gives way, because you are loving the Lord your God with all your heart, and everything, all the vices, gives way. He says, with all your heart is occupied by God. Your mind is occupied by God. Your soul is occupied by God. Your whole strength is occupied by God. No room for the devil. That is why he could say through the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are from above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. All that is in this very body that will otherwise stand in the way between you and God gives way. Love Him and Him alone at all times. Set your mind, set your affection on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Is your life hidden with Christ in God? Has he become the supreme governor of your thought, of your emotions? Are they all being held at his own disposal? Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. How much this body needs to be put to death every second. Not only here in London, but all over the UK. All over the Western world. I can go to some villages in Africa today, even now, and I won't find any newspaper down in that very village. I won't find any pornographical material in those very villages. My eyes are not being defiled in those remote corners of the earth. But we are being afflicted every single minute and every single second, that these eyes need to be brought under the subjection of the Holy Spirit at all times, every minute and every second. And as a servant of God, we need to be 10 times hot in the Word of God. Give no room for the devil. This body was not meant for sin and confess, abusing of the grace of God, but that put to death all that is earthly. How do we go about doing that? Loving Him. All your heart. He says all, not part of your heart. The children of Israel had no such commitment and dedication that has occupied their mind. But that they were quarreling, they were sinning against God, sinning against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt? Take us back there to go and eat all the cucumbers. Eat all those grains there. Feeding this empty stomach, this earthly body that will soon perish. The mind, this whole body needs to be fed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every minute and every second need to be occupied, engaged with the Word of God. How can a young man, young woman, adult, keep his way pure? It is by girding it according to thy word. And David will say that thy word, O Lord, have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. The word of God must take complete place in our thinking, in our doing,
and in all our talking. We have seen the provision that God has made for the people of Israel. They have offended and violated the word of God. In John 3:16, the most popular and famous verse that everyone should know at all times, God loving the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He made provision for you and for I, for myself. So that to the children of Israel in verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, who made that provision? God made that provision. The people had sinned against Him. The people have violated His word. The people have handled holy things lightly. In verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, among the people. And we are told, and much people of Israel died. Someone will say, God is the one who has chosen His people. He is very loving. He is very caring, so He won't send people to hell. It is impossible. But that is violating the truth of the scriptures. The word propitiation is a very rich word. It means not God not only being a God of love, but the other side of the coin, He is a God of wrath. He is a holy God. No impurity can stand in His presence. He made provision for the people. Looking to Him and Him alone and for us, it is shown through the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking to Him is what God led Moses in prophecy, being so fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 verse 14 and 15. We see the fulfillment. John 3, 14, 15 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. But we have millions of Muslims with the spirit of unbelief and with the spirit of doubt. And this doubt has entered into the church, that we find even some among those who are supposed to be clergy, evangelical believers, have become so darkened in their understanding. And they say both Muslims and Christians that they worship the same God, a violation upon the revealed word of God. The people have become so callous, so confused, so mixed up in their understanding of the scriptures. They say these people fast, they do the Ramadan, so they must know their God. They do with outward showing. They do with outward signs. All their acts of righteousness are but filthy rags, comes nowhere near the standard of God. They have not acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. A
anyone who does not acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, he is none of his. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. But they're telling us that look to Muhammad, and that these are the believers who are mixed up in their theology, are saying that we have one common word, bringing in a syncretized way, syncretism, mixing Buddhism, mixing Hinduism, mixing all the isms in other religious background and belief system, putting them all together, becoming so mixed up in their understanding or ideas of who God is. We're told again and again by God's servant, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not is a command, authority. 2 Corinthians, you can turn to it, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I learned that memory verse right from the primary school. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. For what fellowship has light with darkness? And what communion, what common word has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? What concord has Christ with Islam? What concord has Christ with Muhammad? What path hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As he has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean. Nothing unclean, then I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons, and ye shall be my daughters. Do we find it difficult in our places of work to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ? Begin to live out your life as a believer amongst the non-believers. Begin to pray for them. Begin to fast in your place of work. They may come, they may ask you, an opportunity will be open for you to testify and to share with them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I work among people who have mental issues, mental problems, disturbed in their minds. But that God in his providence, even though in a professional field, has opened me a great door of evangelism. Just the past week, being invited to give a second presentation to a group of psychologists and psychiatrists. And these are not your friends. These are people who tell you that there is no faith. Don't have any faith in God. Atheistic-minded philosophers. And their father is Charles Darwin. They tell you that they're atheistic-minded and taking all and telling you that there is no God. And that if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, and you have problems or you suffer with any anxiety, go and see a psychologist. Go and see a psychiatrist. What does he do?
They subject you to their medication, which cannot free the mind. You need a mind to be healed by the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his power has not changed. He is unchangeable. He is immutable. The unchanging one. His power is from ages to ages, remaining to be the same. What has changed? Man has drifted. Man has deviated. Man has waxed cold in his faith. Up and down the land, up and down the nations of the world, put together, have drifted from the word of God. Some even in their theology have said that they believe in cessationists. That everything has ceased. Their faith has ceased and has paralyzed, has been put into dustbin. That all the power and the miracles have been put into the dustbin. This is why we can have huge continent like Southern Africa and the Southern Ireland voting for gay and homosexual, denying the power of the word of God. Where are those who should stand and declare the whole counsel of God? We say this, his power has died. You can have the whole continent voting for gay and homosexual. And the end will be in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. It is a very fearful thing for any man or any woman or any boy or any girl to fall into the hands of the living God. The churches need to come, the ministers, whoever promotes the idea of the power of God ceasing or dying with the apostles, need to come before God with repentance. Such power is what has paralyzed the whole continent of Europe. I wasn't born here in England, raised and born in Africa, in Nigeria. But I was visited in this body by evil spirits. Demons entered this body here in England, in the northern part of England. Not in Africa or Nigeria, but evil spirits entered and tormented this body. Studying theology in the Bible college. But theology was being compromised. Believe in Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. Removing Genesis, removing all the books of the Bible. Putting the power of God into the dustbin. And as a result, being removed from the Bible college, theological college, evangelical theological college, right down to a psychiatric hospital. I call it prison. Into a psychiatric prison down in Morpeth, Newcastle. On the 11th of May 1988, 27 years ago this year. 11th of May 1988, removed from the Bible college down to a psychiatric prison in Newcastle. Kept there for 3 weeks. 11th of May to 31st of May, being locked up, being incarcerated, being given all kinds of evil drugs, thinking that those drugs will remove those evil spirits. I need none other than the word of God and his power. I need the minister of the word of God, those who know his truth, to stand in on the word of God. But the word of God was compromised. The word of God was reduced. God shares no glory with any man or any woman, and that college is closed down because there are no students who want to go there. God is calling you to be only one man or one woman to stand for truth and for righteousness. He told Abraham that I have called you alone. Don't wait until there are 20 people who are believing in the word of God and his power to walk in truth.
He is calling you and you alone to make a stand for him in this crooked and perverted generation to shine us light. So being taken into that mental hospital down in Newcastle, kept there for 3 weeks, no recovery. And of course, we don't expect any recovery. But had to be removed from UK back to Africa. Made by those who dare to believe in the power of God. Made with those who dare to believe in the authority of the scriptures. Made with those who dare to know that his power is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Totally unchanging. I serve a God who never fail, who can never fail. He lives forever. Do you know this same God? Or do we allow the compromise and the darkness of the age, the spirit of the age, to engulf as it has done in the southern part of the country, of the continent, Southern Ireland, and here in Britain, with all the MPs, even for David Cameron, I wrote it down before, he congratulated them. You've done a good thing, he said. And also of Hillary Clinton, saying good job to Ireland. All these are children of corruption. You dare to go and stand and preach to those who bring down the word of God. Do not fear any man or any woman who kills his body, this outer body. Only fear him who has the power and the authority to destroy both. And only Christ. There is no Boko Haram that has got any power and authority to remove Christ out of this body. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you know of his daily presence with you? How do you maintain? He wants you to love him. He saved my soul. If he saved your soul, then in response to him saving your soul, you should love him with all your heart. Love him with all your soul. Love him with all your strength. Love him with all your mind. Let everything be surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. I want to sing one chorus. And if you know that chorus, you can join. Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let the healing of the Lord come down. Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the power of the Lord from heaven come down. Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the power of the Lord. Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the power of the Lord from heaven come down. Let the power of the Lord come down. Let the Spirit 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 of the Lord from heaven come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let the healing of the Lord come down.
Let thy healing of the Lord come down. Let thy healing of the Lord come down. Let thy healing of the Lord for me will come down. Let thy healing of the Lord come down.
Let the anointing of the Lord come down.
Let the anointing of the Lord come down. Let the anointing of the Lord come down. Let the anointing of the Lord from heaven come down. Let the anointing of the Lord come down.
Pornography or addicted to any things, vices that have tormented your mind, tormented your body, tormented your feeling. Let it be given to Christ.
Amen.
Let everything be nailed, be put to the cross of Christ, and let Him take supreme control over your thought. Take control over your feelings. Yes. Take control over your emotions. Yes. Take control over all the vices in your life. Let it be given to Christ. Let Christ occupy everything inside you. Bring all your family before the Lord in prayer. Bring all your children before the Lord in prayer. Bring all your friends before the Lord in prayer. Bring all that you know before the Lord in prayer. Even for the one that their brother Neil was sharing earlier on, the man who was compromised, the man who has gone to the world, bring him to Christ. Father, we come before thee even this night. We acknowledge thee, Lord, the depthness, how that the church has become so weak, has become so paralyzed, and has departed even from knowing of thy very presence. I ask you, O Lord, even for the divine visitation that you did in 1972, oh, may they have the foretaste. May they have the foretaste of the presence of the living God. May they have the foretaste of the presence of the living God.
And it was power. And in meditation in the depths of my heart. Be that set. God of my salvation, to your glory.